Good evening.
Welcome to Grace and Truth Tuesday evening service. We're going to hang around the mystery for a while, so I'm not going anywhere till Scott comes back. We're sticking with the mystery. So as been our habit lately, let's not stand today. I just wanted to make a point about the Star Spangled Banner and the Pledge of Allegiance. We stand for that, but for this, you know. So let's recite it together. 1 Timothy 3:16, by common confession, great is the mystery of godliness. He who was revealed in the flesh was vindicated in the spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory. And that's where he sits today, at the right hand of the Father, the right hand of majesty on high, interceding for us saints, because we know not how to pray as we ought. And he intercedes for us, and the Holy Spirit prays, utters sounds not even recognizable to man, but it's according to the will of God. So we're in good hands if we have a lousy prayer life like some of us do. It's not the greatest, but I'm working on it. You know, some things that you have to acquire over the long haul. So maybe one day I'll be a great prayer warrior like some of you are. Okay, we're going to just go to Ephesians 1 today. Let's read it first, and then we'll go back and touch on a few highlights. Ephesians 1:1, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus and faithful in Christ. That's what he calls them, the faithful. God calls those things that aren't as if they were, and whether they're all faithful or just a few are, he calls them faithful. Just like in Corinthians and some of the other epistles, they're called saints. Not to be, if you ever see, to be is in the italics. It's fact. They are saints. Not to be one day or if they do something worth sainthood. So, verse 2, grace to you and peace from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies, in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him. In love he predestinated us as adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of grace, which he lavished on us in all wisdom and insight. He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his kind intention, which he purposed in him, in Christ, with a view to the administration suitable to the fullness of times, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things on earth. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will, to the end that we who were first to hope in Christ would be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of his glory. For this reason, I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus among you and your love for all the saints, do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe, in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenlies, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. Come on. And he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So there's a lot of information in that first chapter. Blessings according to his grace, according for his praise and honor. And he's sort of a selfish God like that. That's why he does things. Isaiah says many times, I am the Lord. There's none other like me. And we can all agree with that, that's for sure. There's none can match. Okay, then. First verse, Paul, an apostle, usual greeting by him, because of the will of God to the saints in Ephesus or Laodicea or whoever might be reading. This is a secular letter, and could be Meadowlands, Houston, to the church in Houston. And right now, that's what it is. And the faithful in Christ, number one, en Christo, en alto, en whom, who, hos, H-O-S, a relative pronoun, which refers back to Christ. And I don't know how many times through the whole book, but I counted them for the first chapter, so we'll keep track as we go along. And I don't think I need my glasses. It's messing me up. So, grace to you and peace from God our Father. That's pretty basic of all his letters. Same beginning, same grace and faith and blessing and peace. Irene, peace of soul, peace of mind, peace, intrinsic peace, knowing that you've been reconciled unto God, and there's no enmity there anymore. He loves you as he loves his own son. He loves you with that same exhaustive love that he loves Jesus. And the same love that also Jesus loved the Father enough to go all the way to the cross and straight through it and allow him to raise him from the dead. That was a great love. And of course, the love he had for us that he showed by giving himself for us. And he gave up a lot. He gave up all the riches in heaven, his seat on the throne in heaven, to come to earth and tent himself, God living in a man. It's not been done before that. Many claim to, maybe, but not really. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. There's number two. That they're blessed, that's three times in that verses. It's eulogetus is an adjective, and then later on it's eulogia, the verb, and then finally it's a noun form, so. All three parts of speech are used in that for that word blessing, and it's eulogia, which is a good word. He speaks a good word of us. He speaks a good word of his son Christ, and because we're in him now, he speaks a good word about us. And it is quite a blessing to know that God is your Father, and you can go to him anytime, and he's not going to beat you down, but he's going to receive you because you're in his son. And that's going to carry a lot of weight with us now and into eternity to come. And we're hid with him and now, because we died with him, we're hid with him. So keep your eyes on the above things where Christ is seated. And can't go wrong when you do that. But That was verse 3. Ephesians 2:6. He raised us up with him and seated with him in the heavenly places. So we're seated with him in the heavenlies. So, and also in Colossians 3, 1, 2, and 3. So that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to all the churches, the rulers, the authorities in the heavenly places. All those guys that Jesus created back in eternity past, all the rulers, the powers, the cosmocrators, the authorities, they were all made by him and for him. He allows them to go so far, but he's got them on a leash, and he won't let them go that far. And they get too ambitious. He'll tug them. He'll yank them back like a dog that's trying to get to you and runs out of leash and gets thrown back. But we still have them. They're still bothering us, but our warfare is it's not carnal. We're not fighting flesh and blood. They're manipulating and causing a lot of people to do a lot of things, and we don't hold it against them. But our weapons are not flesh and blood, but they're mighty through the pulling down of strongholds, and we've got the advantage now because we are in Christ. Verse 4, just as he chose us in him, there's number 3, before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him. In love should go to the next verse. But I just wanted to touch on the before the foundation. I talked about that Sunday, the catapult. He took a handful of faith and threw it down, and it landed in midair, and there it was. The universe, the earth, everything. Because it says in Romans 11, Hebrews 11, that the worlds were formed and created by faith. And that was the faith of the Son of God, who spoke all things into existence. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. We're the first group of people that can say that. Israel was, they were a miracle, born of a barren woman and an older man who was done with the reproduction thing, but he caused them to have a son, and the greater son would be the blessing that would bless the entire world and have blessed more people than the stars of the heavens and the sands of the sea. And he's still going to town on that one. And we don't hear about an app, but there's probably more and more people being saved every day. And I would figure during times like this, when everything's really up in the air, nothing's really sure anymore. It's pretty crazy out there, and scary to those who have no hope. But we take it with a grain of salt. We take it as from the Lord, and can't go wrong with that. Stick to your Psalm 91. The destruction will not come nigh you. Read that and recite it and pay attention to that, and you'll have great hope. You'll be strong in the inward man, and walk in love just as Christ did. Loved us and gave himself for us. An offering and a sacrifice to God is a fragrant aroma. Talking about the incense altar in the tabernacle, and we'll talk about the showbread here in a couple minutes. 12 loaves for the 12 tribes, and the light stand, the lampstand that illuminated all these things to put the spotlight on Christ. Fanyo, we were talking about Fanyo the other day, came to light. And it's great. Like I said, I've been studying Revelation, and I'll be ready to teach it maybe in 10 or 15 years, because you got to know that. You got to know the tabernacle. You got to know Daniel, you got to know Ezekiel. You got to know a lot of stuff to even begin to figure most of that stuff out. But got my toes wet anyways. But yes, we were called. We were called out from the world. That's eklego, eklektos. We were called out from among the dead ones, now made to be alive in Christ. And, it's a calling that we didn't do anything for, but it was by His grace, and that's also for His purpose and His glory and His will. When it says there that the says that we might, that we would be holy and blameless, that sounds like there might be some doubt to it. Like it's a subjunctive, and there's depends on somebody's volition there, but that only depends on God's volition, and it's an infinitive. It's to be, we will be blameless, spotless when He presents us to the Father. There won't be any leftover sins that we didn't confess or anything. We will be spotless before Him. Amomos. I love it. He sees us always in Christ. He never sees us. He's no respecter of person. I found out that the root word for respecter of person is prosopone, which is face, and time, which means value. He doesn't see things at face value like we do. So that's the fun about the Greek. You can like make up your own words, but they're not new words. They're just agreeing with what you already know and what Paul or somebody else came up with. And that's the fun. That's the fun of the Greek. Breaking it down. I was sitting on a porch the other night, 3:00 in the morning, and I was trying to pull together a message for Sunday, and I'm sitting there, and the Lord says, "Stir up your gift." I said, "That's what I've been trying to do for the last day and a half." So I went back in and laid down for a couple more hours, and I woke up, and He says, "Just go exegete that verse." I said, "Okay." So I started exegeting, and wham, it was like a bolt of lightning, and the oceans flooded into my soul, and it was so. Can't ignore it, I guess. Verse 5. In love, the love which He loved us with, and the love that He gave His only begotten Son with, that love also lavished us to adoption. To adoption as sons through Christ to Himself according to His kind intention of His will. He predestined. That's the word pro horizo. Pro is before, and horizo means to mark off. Actually, it was a term they used to mark off the boundaries of a land. Oh, He's marked us off as sons and daughters. Standing as sons and daughters now. Not Jew or Greek or anything else. No other designations, but sons and daughters, and that we are. And we know that when we see Him, we'll be like Him, because we'll see Him just as He is. That should be motivation right there enough to make us pure, to work for purity in our lives. And it's all a long haul, and we'll mess up, but there's rebound, and we can get moving again, fall off the horse, jump right back on, and get moving again. And before all time, before the foundation, we were already standing, our son-daughter standing. 8:17 of Romans, we are all sons and daughters of God through faith, and co-heirs. You can't beat that. He's sharing all that He has now in His resurrected glory, not to mention his eternal riches. They're all going to be shared with us now, and we're co-heirs. But our part is just to keep going, keep continuing. Continue in His Word. Continue studying on your own. Keep coming to church, just because that's the only way we'll ever be changed inside, is to get that Word in our stream of consciousness and let it go around and just flush out all the garbage and set up new norms and standards, get rid of the old ones, grandma's old-time religion or anything else you might have been taught being raised by your parents, godly parents or non-godly parents. They still brought you up to see what was right and wrong, I'm sure. And that word is weothesian. Like I said, weo, son, and tithemi means to stand or set a point. And that's great. That's a great thing. We are in Roman law. A Roman man could disown his natural son for doing something goofy or if he embarrassed him or not. But his adopted son, he was stuck with him. There was no way he could get out of that contract. Once the adoption happened, it was permanent. And nothing could ever come between us. And it's according to his eudokia, we had eulogia at first, he's speaking good things about us, but now dokeo, eudokia, he's thinking good things about us. That's comes from the word doxa, glory, and that's just his opinion, how he relates to us now as sons and daughters in Christ. No longer fleshly. In Christ. And that's according to his thelema, his will. Verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. There's another one. That's number 4. To the end that we were the first to hope that we might be to the praise. The praise of his glory. Like he said in Matthew 3:17, this is my only begotten son in whom I am well pleased. And he adds, listen to me in one of them, I believe. I don't know if it's Luke or John, but we are the object of his love. And he has ex charit teo. He's graced us out. Got a little prefix there to give it a little more punch than just to be receiving grace. But it's more than out. We have definitely been graced out. And it's awesome. And that's because of his love. Okay, 1:7. In him, 5. We have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace. There's the plousios of his grace. Great, that's just not rich, that's great, great riches. And along with the honor and all that goes along with it. And the forgiveness of our trespasses, the aphiemi, he sent them away. He divorced us from our transgressions and our sins and the effect it had on us and the power it had over us. All that was defeated on the cross. So sin's not the issue. Like I was saying Sunday, and even in evangelism, sin's not the issue. Christ is. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Not counting men's sins and trespasses against them, but freely saving them, freely anyone who would believe. A mere agreement with that. Say the same thing, homo ego. Anyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has eternal life. He doesn't believe, well, he's condemned already because you're born condemned. But anyone who believes. The word redemption in that verse is apolutrosin, and it's to be bought with a price, bought back. I remember a colonel, a book he had, saved from the slave market of sin, purchased from the slave market of sin, and that's more or less what it was. And the good part about that is the root word is the one little three letters, luo, L-U-O, and it's the same exact word when Jesus, before going into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, I guess you would call it, he told them to go into the city and look for a colt and her child tied up and untie them, and that's the word, luo. So they were saved. The two donkeys were saved that day too, because he untied them. He's the savior of all men, especially to those who believe. But that's a good word, apolutrosin. Bought us with a price, not with perishable things, not with silver or gold. But with his precious blood, he bought us. You can get mixed up on that one sometimes, too. There's a lot of hyper-spirituals. When I first got saved, I met a guy at Jeebies, when I worked at Jeebies. And he found out I got saved, and he would ask me questions. How's your walk? And he'd get on me about that. And then, quit smoking yet? You got to plead the blood. Plead the blood, I'm going. Plead the blood. It's not blood. If blood was the magic elixir, we wouldn't need a Christ. The bulls and goats of the Old Testament sacrifices would have done a job. And Christ wouldn't have had to come and shed his blood. But it's not the blood, it's the sacrifice. It's the hours on the cross crying, my God, why have you forsaken me? That's the blood. And probably didn't, from a crown of thorns and nails, I don't know, in your palm of your hand, I don't know how much the palm of your hand would bleed, or your ligaments, like in your feet. Probably wasn't really a whole lot. I mean, he didn't bleed to death, because he gave up his spirit. Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. No man took his life from him, but he laid it down freely of his own volition. Verse 8. Which he lavished on us in all wisdom and insight. That's his wisdom, that's his insight. Oh, the wisdom, and look it up later. It's an awesome verse. I can't remember right now. I meant to write it down and then I forgot. But it's Romans 11:33, when he's talking about the mystery of Israel. His ways are past finding out. He's untraceable. His steps are untraceable, and his ways are no man could ever know. No man could ever be his counselor. But he lavished on us in all wisdom and insight through love, and he has given us a spirit of wisdom and insight, lifestyle. And he made known to us the mystery, hey, there it is, of his will, according to his kind intention, there's his eudokia again, which he purposed in him. Number 6. Part of his abundant wealth by grace, he has given us wisdom and insight to understand the mystery. And Paul in 3:5, if we read and read, reread, we'll understand, have his insight into the mystery. So that's why I'm sticking with Ephesians here, because it's revealing the mystery. And it's heavenly. It's all heavenly blessings, just like our, it's like our new birth. It wasn't man or a woman or the will of man, but we were born of God from above, and even our birth is a heavenly riches. And remember, Rick had 45. He had a list of 45 things that from Ephesians 1, and he had that kind of mind, though. But he came up with that, he said, while he was listening to the song service. Just shows how much word of God he had in his soul. Let me get a drink here. Yeah, I even still call him pastor. Not that he is so much, but he was my first one. So I went to a couple churches before Ted Alesti, but they weren't no pastors. They were shysters, food bank people, and a lot of talking in tongues and getting filled with the Spirit, I guess, and jumping around, and the kids were all jumping around, acting crazy, and that was supposed to be the worshiping by the Spirit, but thank God. Thank God for the radio. I heard Rick one time, and that was it. That was it. I've loved the Word of God ever since that day. For since in the wisdom of God, the world, through it, did not know. For if they would have known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. This is a wisdom from God. It's his wisdom. It's his insight. He's seeing things according to his pleasure and his kind intention. Noresis is the word. It's a form of gnosis, and he made these things known to us through his Son. You have the seed bed. You don't think about it much, but I was reading John 14 and 15 and 16. There's some seed bed there for the mystery, the mystery of Christ in you, you in Christ. I mean, it's all there, and that's the way we're supposed to live the spiritual life, totally dependent upon the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, the power sphere, and that's the only way to do it, is he works and wills in us. So just keep taking it in. Keep believing. Relax. Let it happen. With a view to the administration suitable to the fullness of times, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things on the earth. All things are summed up in him now. I'm not even going to try to pronounce that word. It's about 10 letters long, but the main word in it is kephale, concerning his headship. All things are under his headship now, under his feet, waiting for his enemies to be made his footstool, in Psalm 110. And the last enemy we all know will be death. He conquered it here, put an end to the fear of death, which the devil, that's his main ploy, I guess. That's what's going on right now. And before it was just, we need health insurance. Everything was about health insurance. Now everybody needs health insurance because they're afraid they're going to die. They're going to... I think I heard 55% of people are still afraid to go out of their house. I don't know. I guess I'm just not merciful enough to understand others' viewpoints on stuff. But in him, number 7, verse 11, saying the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. He's already created everything visible and invisible, powers and principalities. He made him for himself. They were made through him, and they were made for him, by him, and for him. They're for him to use however he feels fit to use it. And whether they be fallen angels or good angels the prince, Israel's prince Michael. I should know that. That's my middle name. And then Gabriel, the herald. And of course some cherubim that I've been studying about, and some seraphim in Isaiah 6. Six wings covering their feet, their face, and flying with the other two. And they've always ministered, seen by angels, they've always ministered to him. In eternity, had a few examples of how they ministered to him on earth at his temptation in Matthew and Luke 4, and many, many times. He could have called 72,000 at his disposal when Peter cut the guard's ear off. Peter never did get the picture. He still didn't get the picture there. He was still thinking like a man. He wasn't. He hadn't yet let that cross. But I don't think any of them did at this time. That would come later. Nothing really, really kicked in until the resurrection and his ascension, and that's when things started getting going pretty much. And the mystery and administration. It's a oikonomia, or oiko house, and nomia is the law. It's the house law. You know, like when you go to a bar, or if you don't go to a bar, but you go to some place where you play cards, and they have their own rules, and that the house rules there. Well, or you go to a pool hall somewhere, and they have their own rules for that specific pool hall. It's the house rules. And this is our house rules. Well, what we read this morning, that's how we're to conduct ourselves in the household of God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Great by common confession. Home of the ghetto. We all say the same thing about him. I don't think anybody has any weird offshoot of any doctrines or anything. We all think pretty much the same, I believe. And we're all growing together. We're all groaning together, too. It's all for the praise of his glory, the epinos of his glory, who gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed, to purify for himself a people for his own possession. We're his own possession now. Also, we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestinated according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will. The word purpose is prothesin, and that's pro antithemy, to before, to stand before. In the Septuagint, that's it's the word for showbread. Same word, prothesin. It's his purpose. It's the standing. It's the reason for his doing. The purpose. It's why he does things. For the praise of his glory. And for the praise and glory of his Son, who did all the work, who finished the work. And such a great thing that we'll never be able to imagine in this fleshly body. Hopefully when we're in our resurrection bodies, we'll see. And I believe we'll know him just like he is, because we'll see him as he is. John said, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherewith he blessed us with all heavenly blessings. In him, verse 13, number 7, you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, or the promised Holy Spirit. In John 16, I will pray the Father, and he will send you another Comforter, and he will be with you forever. Can't beat that. Somebody that's going to come and be just like him, exactly. Be our advocate, be our helper, teach us, show us, lead us. It's too awesome. Too awesome to, the natural man could never figure this out. That's why you must believe. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit, by whom you were sealed. Sragizo, we were sealed. That little wax thing in that seal, and we were sealed for the day of redemption. And that's not our earthly redemption. That's the day when we'll be changed. When we'll be changed from these bodies of immortality and be raised to be, oh, these bodies of mortality to be raised immortal. Sorry about that. And that'll be awesome too. I can't imagine that happening. What you would be thinking when that happens. It's all too amazing. It's so unbelievable that it's hard to believe sometimes, but you can't be like that. You have to just believe it, because it's the way it is. But he'll seal us. Just like Daniel sealed the book in chapter 12, the book of the end times. And I believe that's the same book that the in Revelation, they can't find nobody to remove the seals, because nobody was worthy until they saw the freshly slain lamb right in the middle. The middle of heaven, in the middle of the throne, right in the middle for eternity is going to be a slain lamb. But we'll never forget that one. Oh, glory. He is so awesome. Plus, he's the one who's going to be doing all this crazy stuff. So, he's pretty powerful. He's got 7 eyes and 7 horns. So, it's just all his, he's omnipotent and omnipresent. And that's the eyes and the horns. And he's going to kick some tail one of these days. I can't wait for that either, to see his enemies throttled, because they haven't been very nice to him over the years. He's fling his name around in bars and on TV and in movies all day long, and give him no credit for anything. Just somebody to swear, somebody to use when you're swearing. That's John 14:16. I will ask the Father, and he will send another Comforter. But we're given a pledge. Who is given as a pledge of our inheritance, with a view to the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of his glory. Sounds like 1 Peter 1:4, an inheritance imperishable, undefiled. It's waiting for us in heaven. It's just waiting for us. It's the air bone, the down payment of our resurrection and our eternal dwelling. Like you would make a down payment on a house or something, but the Spirit's made that down payment, and whenever he comes, we're going with him. When he's revealed, we'll be revealed with him in glory. So he doesn't have to do that either. It's all because he's so gracious and loving kind, the Arrowbone, that is the down payment, the pledge. And those who have been called may receive the promise of eternal inheritance in the saints. And we have that seal of approval. 1:15, for this reason I do, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus, which is among you, your love for all the saints, do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you his spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. There is our friend Sophia, wisdom, that we would think in wisdom, that the wisdom compartment of our stream of conscience would be filled. And that's just epinosis ready to be applied to any situation. Wisdom is epinosis in action. And revelation, the apocalypso, he takes the lid off the mystery. He took the lid off the mystery. And he also takes the veil. Moses wore a veil over his face to hide the glory fading. And it was only revealed. The veil was only taken off when through the preaching of Christ. So if they're not preaching Christ in the synagogues, they can preach till the cows come home and there's going to be no salvation. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many, many mansions. I'm going to prepare one for you. Maybe that, did that make him feel good? Old Philip and Thomas? Probably not. Because Philip came up with a great one. He'd come up with a great one right after that. Show us the Father. Philip. Didn't I tell you that if you've seen me, you've seen the Father? The everlasting Father, he's called in Isaiah 9:6. The Prince of Peace. The Wonderful, the Counselor. Almighty God. Come on, Philip. You only see things by the flesh, by fleshly point of view. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, photizo, so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. It's a matter of being enlightened, and that's the job of the Holy Spirit. And he does nothing on his own accord. He will testify of me, Jesus said. He will take from what I have and give it to you. And his purpose is no different than Jesus' purpose or God the Father's purpose. I think most of the time in Revelation when I'm studying, I don't see a Father or a Spirit. I just see Jesus. And that's because he's God, and he's all that. They're all that. So that's the thing about it. You know, the Trinity, that's good for us, so we can relate. But I don't think there'll be a Trinity in heaven. For the Lamb will be the Lamb will be the lamp that lights eternity forever. It's all God. It's all God. And yes, Photismo. He had the light shined on him. And 30 years. And the eyes of your heart. Jesus said in Matthew 6:22, the eye is the lamp of the body. So if the eye is clear, your whole body will be filled with light. If your eye is bad, your whole body will be filled with darkness. If then the light is darkness, how great is that darkness? So be careful what you hear, what you're listening to, what you read. And he who has ears, the great mystery statement. He who has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. And to have ears, you would have to be producing fruit, or you wouldn't have any ears. So, whoever has ears or starting to grow ears, maybe, producing that fruit. Keep it up. Father will help us by pruning us a little bit every once in a while, and that fruit will... It'll fruit will be much one day. My throat's shot. What is the surpassing greatness of his power? Usward. Who believe in accordance with the working, the strength of his might. The dunamis, the kratos, and the ischuros. All of those are joined together in synergy, and that power is way, way too much for anybody to even start to think about. Which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead, seating him at his right hand in the heavenly places, and he also raised us up to be with him. But as Romans 8:11, that same spirit of that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. That'll also give mortal life to your mortality. Need to get filled with a little resurrection power. And Jesus had that going through his veins, that resurrection power. Far above all rule and authority, power, dominion. Every name that is named, not only in this, but in the name and in the world to come. And we know now that because he was obedient to death on the cross, the Father's glorified him by giving him a name that is above every other name, and at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow on earth, in heaven, under the earth, that Jesus Christ is Kyrios, Yahweh, to the glory of God the Father. Psalm 8:6, you made him to rule over the works of your hands. You have put everything under his feet. Like I said the other day, we don't yet see it under his feet, but we see him who for the joy before him, he tasted death, crowned with glory and honor. He tasted death for every man through what he suffered on the cross. And so awesome. Well, who's that 22? Okay. All right. Okay, 123 is final verse, which is his body, the fullness of him who fools all in all. And there's our word, our famous word, pleroma. He's full, and everything is full in him. We're full in him. And it's the fullness that fills all in all. And that's our word, pleroma. Pleroma is a nautical term I learned one time. And when these ships were preparing to go on a long journey, like across the ocean or something, they had supplies stuffed under the bed, in the closets, in the corners, all over the floor. They couldn't do this little path to get to their bed. And the ship was just stuffed full of supplies so they would have enough for their journey across the ocean. And that's the original sense of the word, pleroma. And needless to say, he's all and he's in all. And so is the Father. He's all and in all. Jesus said, me and the Father will come to make our abode in you. So we have all three members of the Trinity living in us now. And there's no other time. I mean, you can say,
well, I wish I'd have been in a Red Sea, or I wish I'd have been at when Jesus was preaching. And but there's no time like this time. This definitely is the fullness of the ages, and everything he's had of it all. And that's part of the mystery, just a little piece of our inheritance and our great blessings because of his love, and it's his great expense that he paid on the cross. And we just love him for it. And if nothing else ever happened, we still have that. He died for us on the cross. Nothing could ever take its place. Nothing could ever happen bad enough that would erase that. That's a final thing. That's eternal. And it's our life. And we should take up our cross and follow him. And let him crucify our ways that don't see his way or doesn't agree with his purposes. And, I think all I was pretty much, you know, Lord, go ahead, do what you want. You know, I'm putty in your hands, so he won't leave us alone, and he'll test us. Once we take hold of that plow, we better not let go, because he's not going to forget it. And he'll come after us, make us get our hands back on that plow again, so we can keep going, so we can rack up rewards in this life, so that we may experience the resurrection, the ex-honestatia. Paul was sure he was on his way there. And his last letter to Timothy, pretty much, he was waiting. He was waiting for that crown of glory, which the Lord would give him on that day. And I'm sure as soon as that axe went through his neck, he had it right there already, face to face with his Savior. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Bless it to the group tonight, Lord. Hit them right where they live. You can do it through your Spirit. Man, he just spouts the words, but you do all the real work, and we thank you for that. And we just relax and wait for you to do wonderful things in our lives. And Lord, just thank you so much. And we pray for Scott, Lord. His highest and best, your highest and best you will bestow on it, plus a healing, that you would heal him beautifully, perfectly, and he would talk about your mystery for many, many, many more years. And we thank you for him, his ministry. Thank you for everybody here tonight that came out on a Tuesday night. Nice crowd for a Tuesday night, Lord. Bless them. Make it worth their while for coming. And we just thank you for everything in that precious name of our great God and Savior, who we wait with bated breath for. Jesus Christ, in his name we pray, Lord. Bless the offering. In Jesus' name, thank you.
Happy in the BMB. For those who hear the word of God, Jesus, they're my mother.